reading this morning is from John, the first chapter, verse 17 verses. We've already talked about and sung about and studied about this morning about the love that we have for our God, the love of His Son, and the love of the Holy Spirit. These first 17 verses here talks about how much that God loves us. So please listen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him is life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was a true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ."
God gave the law, but he brought the gospel. John here, when he begins his record of the gospel of Jesus Christ, makes a connection between Moses and Jesus. Moses was the one who was given the law by God. Moses was the one who then gave it to the people. The connection that John makes is how it is that God then brought the gospel through his own begotten Son, Jesus Christ. It's not unlike what the Hebrew writer said when he begins his letter talking about how God, who at sundry times and divers manners, spake unto us through the prophets. And the greatest of those prophets is Moses. So it's very fitting that John makes the connection between Jesus and Moses. And Jesus goes on to talk about this connection. And Jesus said that Moses spoke of him. We can look at this in all the Gospels, but this morning we're just going to be looking at the Gospel of John and seeing how Moses and Jesus are tied together. First of all, we see the law of Moses being discussed, how Moses gave the law. Well, first verse that we have, right, is where we were. Law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We have law laid down. This is right. This is wrong. This is who God is. This is who God is not. This is how you will worship your God, etc., etc. If you sin against God, you will be punished. you sin, you will die. Grace, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The law condemned man to death. Jesus is the one who is able to save man from that death. He brought life by sacrificing himself, as we just remembered a few moments ago. You go over to John chapter 8, we read a little bit more, too, for Jesus speaks of the law of Moses, John records it here, rather. And this is whenever the adulteress was facing the light of the world. So there, in verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 1, Jesus went to Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us, such should be done, such should be stoned. But what do you say?" He said this, testing him, John lets us know. Jesus knew this too, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear them. When they continued asking him, he raised himself up and he said, "He that is without sin among you, cast the first stone." Jesus brings it to light in this truth that John brought earlier in John chapter 1, verse 17. Moses brought the law. What the woman had done was wrong. But Jesus shows them something else. What they had done was wrong too. All are guilty in that way. What Jesus brought then also was, again, mercy and life. Jesus brought opportunity to be set free from this law of sin and death. We would do well to remember that, my friends, whenever we are seeing the faults in others, stopping and considering for a moment the faults that lies within us and what faith beholds us. And what would Jesus have to say on the matter? You go to this a little earlier in John chapter 7. And here, let's begin reading here in verse 16, where Jesus then is answering them. And he says, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" And Jesus answered, and people answered and said, "Because you have a demon." He says, "Who is seeking to kill you?" Jesus goes on to explain to them, "I did one work and you all marvel. Moses, therefore, gave you circumcision. Not that it was from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge in righteous judgment." Jesus here speaks of how it is that they themselves don't keep the law of God. They are guilty of what they say Jesus is guilty of. Jesus gives an illustration because he says, "You will circumcise someone on the Sabbath." How do they get circumcised? Of course, it is to make one to be entered into a covenant relationship with God, to make that man whole. Jesus says, "Here, I have healed this man. I have made him completely whole now on the Sabbath. But yet you would circumcise on the Sabbath? I have given you something. I have given this man something. Will you take something away from someone?" Jesus says that their judgment is not right. Their judgment is superficial. And they're not stopping to consider what's the meaning behind it. They're not making righteous judgment. We would do well to lay this verse on our heart. Not judge according to appearance, but judge after righteous judgment. Jesus speaks of Moses' authority that he had. You remember in John chapter 9, verses 28 and 29. Here, John records this. Whenever they were reviling Jesus and such and his disciples. He says, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples," in verse 28. "And we know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." Now you remember, this is the blind man who had been healed, who is now a follower of Jesus. And he sent some praises of Jesus. And what did these religious leaders and teachers say? "Well, we are going to be followers of Moses because we know who Moses is. We know that he was the spokesman of God." How did they know that? Because of what they've been told. Because of what they have read. And how is it that Moses proved that he was a spokesman from God? Because of the wonders and signs that God gave him, that he performed for the people. And the people then bore witness to this. What are these Jewish leaders witnessing here? What are they seeing with their own eyes? Signs and wonders being performed before them. More marvelous signs than the signs that Moses performed before the people that convinced them that he was a spokesman of God. Throwing down a staff and turning it into a serpent. Placing his hand within his cloak and pulling it out. And seeing that it was leprous and then putting it back in and it being clean once again. Striking a rock and water flowing forth. Jesus healed a man of blindness. A great and wondrous sign has been shown to them. They can see with their own eyes, yet they are blind. They do not really know who Moses is or what he stands for. And they do not adhere to his authority, because if they would have, they would have listened to what Moses said, because as Jesus told the people, "Moses speaks of me. Moses is a witness to me." You go back to what John said at the very beginning of his gospel in chapter 1, but this time we skip down a little further in the text. And we read about how Philip and Nathanael come to Jesus. The following day, verse 43, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." And Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now we know the rest of the story, that Nathanael is a bit skeptical at first, and later, whenever he finally goes and sees Jesus, Jesus convinces him. Because Jesus makes it clear that he had seen Nathanael sitting under a tree. And he knows that Jesus is real. But you see what Philip brings out? The authority of Moses. Moses spoke of this prophet who had come. Moses spoke of Jesus, and he is here. Matthew chapter 5, verses 45 and 46. Excuse me, John chapter 5, verses 45 and 46. That's back here in verse 44. "How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust." And they did trust. As we had seen earlier in one of the texts, they said, "We know who Moses is, and we know we can believe Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't know who he is and where he comes from." So we are disciples of Moses, and followers of Moses. Jesus said, "You trust in Moses?" He said, "You really don't trust in Moses." And verse 46, "For if you had believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" How is that so? Because they are from the same source. They are from God. They are of God. But they're not going to believe because they don't really believe in Moses. I said we'd stay in John, but I can't help but think of Luke. Luke chapter 16. You remember the rich man and Lazarus. Whenever they both die, what happens to Lazarus? He's taken to Abraham's bosom for comfort. He suffered and was afflicted much in this life, impoverished. Where does the rich man go? The text says that he dies. And he goes to a place of torment. And it's from that place of torment that he looks up and he sees Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham and he cries out. And you remember the pleas that he makes? That Lazarus might come, dip his finger in cool water to cool the flames upon his tongue, the rich man's tongue. But you remember Abraham says, not so, my son. Can't happen. He said, well, then send him back that he might warn my brothers so they don't come to the same place. And what does Abraham say? They have Moses and the prophets. They have Moses and his writings. You remember how the story goes, the conversation goes. He says, even if one comes back from the dead, they're not going to listen. If they do not heed the writings of Moses, and they do not heed the writings of the prophets, they will not heed, even if one comes back from the dead. These people did not truly believe Moses because they would not see Jesus for who he really was, my friends. Jesus says, Moses speaks of me. And we would do well to go back and read Moses to see what he said about our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Because he tells us much. I just wanted to give you one other thing from John here. Great type and anti-type. You remember, anti-type is the not type. It's the real deal. Type is the shadow, right? It's a foreshadowing of the true thing that is to come. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. This is a section of scripture we know quite well, isn't it? This is whenever one of the Jewish people does have some belief that Jesus is something different. Perhaps he is the one that Moses spoke of. Remember his name. His name is Nicodemus. But he's afraid because he knows by coming to Jesus what this means. It can cost him his livelihood and it can cost him his life. He comes to Jesus by night. And John chapter 3 and verse 2 says, whenever he came to Jesus, he says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus said to him, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You remember what Nicodemus says. He's curious about this. He says, how can a man be born when he is old and he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Do not marvel that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from, where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Jesus answered, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be so? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you not a teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak that we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who has come down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You see what Jesus shows Nicodemus. He goes back, and this point he points to Moses. You remember the story in the in the wilderness when the children of Israel were wandering around, they had rebelled against God. Once again, God sent the fiery serpents among them, the venomous serpents. And they were plagued by death was coming upon them. They were surely to be annihilated. But then what did Moses do? Moses interceded on their behalf, plead with God, their case. And then what did God instruct Moses to do? He said, take a serpent, fashion it out of bronze, and place the brazen serpent upon the staff in the middle of the camp. And the people who are afflicted look upon it, they will be healed. That's exactly what Moses did. And that's exactly what the people did. They were afflicted, they looked upon the serpent, and they were healed. God took that which was afflicting the people, the cause of death, that which would have struck terror into their hearts, and he made it a source of life for them. My friends, that's what Jesus has done for us. That's what God has done through Jesus. The cross, which was a symbol of death and torment, of execution, he has now made it into a symbol of hope for us. We look upon the cross, and what do we see? We see hope. Jesus lifted up on the cross as life and eternal life. Life and life abundant. Paul shown earlier, many years before, by the act, simple act of Moses. Look upon the cross, my friends, and believe. Finally, in John chapter 6, remember the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, you remember what they had. They were given water from the rock, as Paul tells us, which is Jesus. And they were given bread from heaven. Which Jesus tells us is hell. In verse 26, whenever Jesus had fed them and they were wanting more, Jesus tells them, John 6 and 26, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves that were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. And they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent, whom he sent, that is his Son. And wherefore then they said to them, well, what sign will you perform then? What sign will you perform that we may see it and believe you? Or what work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Do you see what Jesus is showing? Never really been about believing Moses. It's always been about believing God. Because who really gave the bread from heaven? It wasn't Moses who gave it. Who really gave the saving, healing power through the brazen serpent? It wasn't Moses who gave it. Who was it that gave them deliverance from Egypt and saved them through the Red Sea? It wasn't Moses. Who was it that gave them the laws and the writings? It wasn't really Moses who did it. It was always God. It's always been about believing God. And Jesus here points to the same idea. Believe God. Believe me. Because he is, as John says, he is God. He is the true bread of heaven, which we feast on and we are satisfied and we hunger no more. My friend, Jesus is here today to give you what you need to have eternal life. Be part of God's family. He died for you that you might have that hope of eternal life. Won't you believe him? Won't you believe the writings of Moses and the prophets? Won't you believe God this morning, my friend? Become his child. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. For Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. If we can help you, my friend, won't you come? As we stand.